sharp electronic whiteboard that presents you with copies of Hutton Gazette, chairman of the boards, across the board savings, Wigma.
Welcome back to Oscoda High School. I'm Kurt Wilson along with Steve Sinoga in a scoreless tie between the Oscoda Owls and the Gladwin Flying G's. Other games tonight around the area in the Northeast Michigan Conference. Pink County is at Standish Grove. Record in the basketball game. They did have one non-conference tie. Also, Taos is at Oklahoma Heights, and Oklahoma Heights has come up with a pretty decent ball team this year. They should get Taos a pretty good run for the money. Also around the area, North Star League action. Atlanta travels to Gray. That's a big ball game. Both teams undefeated in the conference. Hillman is at Altona. Hale hosting Johannesburg and Lewiston tonight in the annual homecoming game at Hale. And Whittemore traveling all the way to the Thumb area to take on Ubley in a non-conference game. And, of course, Whittemore an independent this year. Having to pick up some teams around the state to get some ball games since they dropped out of the NEM Conference. They're traveling all the way to Ubley tonight to play Rhea. And we're just about set to get underway here. Second half action as the Oscoda Owls will kick it off. And we're ready to go as the kick is by Toby Shaw. It's a short kick taken by one of the up men. Number 25 for Gladwin has it on his 20-yard line. That's Norman Myers. And he went all the way back and lost some yardage as that was not a very smart play by Norman Myers. He took the kickoff at the 20-yard line, went all the way around, tried to get outside, and went back to about the 15-yard line. And that's where they will have it first down and 10.
Well, what the young man knew is they had a return right set up. Unfortunately, he forgot that there was a short kick, which he fielded, and he was an up back. And the quickest thing for him to do was just run upfield, north and south, head for the goal line. And he took the ball back. He lost 10 yards on the play.
And the ball is on the 13-yard line, first and 10, Gladwin. First possession, second half. No score, the ball game. And it's the option once again that they give to the second man through. That will be Mark Sanders, the fullback. And Sanders tried to pile his way ahead just for a few yards. So a first down play gets 2 yards on the play, second down and 8. If you just joined us, the first half was full of turnovers. 4 turnovers by Gladwin, 2 by Oscoda, but nobody could cash in. No score with 11 minutes, 15 seconds remaining here in the third quarter, just beginning second half action. Second down and 8 for Gladwin as they go from the I formation. Kurt Ainsley is the tailback. He did most of the running in the first half. He'll get the ball right side, big hole, as he's up near the first down across the 20 to the 25-yard line. He'll have a first down on that carry by Kurt Ainsley, his first of the second half.
It was an awful long time from the time they got on the ball. I didn't know whether the quarterback might have a checkoff system working for him there with Coach Ron or not, but it looked like he might have been checking off. Everybody did hold. That was a promise for the future here. Nobody jumped offside on either side of the ball in spite of the long time between the snap count. And let's see what happens now.
First down, 10 from the 25-yard line. Give to Ainsley again. This time he's buried as he tries the right tackle area. A lot of Oscoda Owls in their blue uniforms ganged up on him that time, and he gets about 1 yard on the play. It'll be second down and 9 for Gladwin. In that first half, Ainsley had 79 yards on 11 carries. He picked up 12 yards on that last carry, so he's up past the 90-yard mark already here. We're just starting second half action.
A lot of his big yards were on the draw play and occasionally on the pitch out on the option.
Second down and 9. Bruce Mann is wide receiver left. Ainsley gets a call again, has another hole up the 30, 35, 40. First down, knocked out of bounds across the 40-yard line as he just continues to roll the yardage up. He's over 100 yards now as he gets the first down for Gladwin.
Give Ainsley a lot of credit on that one. He started to his left, saw the hole blocked up, did a little cut to the right behind the pursuit of the Oscoda Owls, who were doing a good job of pursuing, and cut behind them. And made it all on his own.
First down and 10 for Gladwin. The ball's on the 41-yard line as they are moving the ball here early in the second half. Quarterback is Troy Gary. He calls the signals. Ainsley again. He's got another hole right side as he picks up 10, but it's fumbled right into the hands of one of the Oscoda defenders. He picks it up. He's down to the 30-yard line as he runs it back 20 yards, and I didn't see the ball pop out until the Oscoda man was running down the sideline. Over again for Gladwin, number 5. 3 fumbles, 2 interceptions, as the Owls now are in good shape to break open this scoreless tie.
And by this one, again, by a young man who is the number one man on their offensive unit. Ainsley, who's had over 100 yards, as you pointed out, rushing.
And he had about 10 more that time until the ball squirted loose right at the tail end. It looks like a fumbled snap, but the quarterback gets it back. So David Harry, the quarterback, has problems with the connection between him and his center, Dan Hicks. And they'll lose a lot of yardage on that, back to the 34-yard line. Second down and 16, loss of 6 yards on that play. So that is not a good way to start out offensively when they had a first down down inside the 30-yard line of Gladwin. So they're backed up. 34-yard line, second down for Oscoda from the power eye formation. They'll give to the tailback, Halverson. Halverson trying to work the right side, and he's piled up after a gain of about 5 yards. So he'll get back some of that yardage that they lost on the first play, but it'll bring up a third and long situation now for Oscoda.
Well, not a very good way to start with a fumble, making it a long yardage situation, very long yardage situation. Now nothing really big. Third down and 11 when they had the possession inside the 25-yard line originally.
From the power eye formation, David Harry, the quarterback. It's Halverson, Edwards, and Kahila in the backfield. It'll be Halverson jumping over two men, trying to find the first down markers as he gets down near the 20-yard line. He did a good job that time, jumping over a couple of defenders to get a few more yards out of that. So he'll bring up a fourth down situation now. The ball is near the 20-yard line. It'll be fourth down and 4 yards to go for the Oscoda Owls. And in this position on the field, I think you have to go for it. A punt really doesn't put them back that far. The field goal might be a little bit out of your range.
They need the first and 10. Let's see what they go for. That was a little misdirection play in the last play. Let's see what they got here.
From the power eye, fourth down 4. Halverson tries the left side. He's trying to work his way. It's going to be close. Second effort would get it for him if they did get the first down, but we'll see where they mark it.
Very important where they mark it.
He's giving it to him
already without a measurement. That was a very big play. Got the first down. Now they've got rid of a couple of mistakes. And now they've got first and 10 on, what is it now, about the 15, 14-yard line?
They mark it at the 15, so it's a first down and 10 as the Owls moving the ball here in the second half. A good second effort by Rob Halverson gets him the first down. This time they line up in the straight eye. Pitch back to Halverson. Trying to right side. Trying to get out on the right side. He does spin it out a little bit as he gets down inside the 10 to about the 7 or 8 yard line. So a good run by Halverson as he tried to pick his way down the sidelines.
This is the closest penetration by either team, Kirk. And really important for the Owls to maintain their momentum here. Second down and
they call it a first down first, right at the 5. So first down and goal from the 5-yard line. The Owls trying to break open this scoreless tie, 0-0, Oscoda and Gladwin from the 5-yard line. First down, goal, power eye. They'll give it to the man, Halverson. Halverson trying to break free. Touchdown, Owls, as Halverson goes over from 5 yards out. Winning move after he took the pitch back from his quarterback, David Harry. Went to the right side, tried to sprint into the end zone, and the last second lunge got him into the end zone. 6 points for Oscoda.
It was inside belly play. They faked to the fullback first. Quarterback pulled it out, handed it to the second man, who was Halverson, and went in for the 5 yards and the 6 points.
And that breaks this scoreless tie, 6-0. The Owls lead it here in the third quarter. 7 minutes, 14 seconds remain in this third quarter.
So after 7 turnovers, finally we have 1 turnover that results in a score.
And they will try to extra point after. They'll try to kick it. It is Brian Baker in to kick the extra point. The kick is partially blocked, and it does not make it over the crossbar, so the kick is no good. That was Matt Cavanaugh who was kicking. It was Matt Cavanaugh's kick was no good. So 6-0, and that it could be a big point. That might come back to haunt the Owls later on. So 6-0 Oscoda after the Halverson 5-yard touchdown run. 5 turnovers by the Gladwin Flying G's tonight, and finally the Owls capitalize and they score first in this ball game.
Still a quarter and a half to go, and the way these teams are moving the football, I would imagine if we could see some points, Kurt. Well, Gladwin especially, if they could just eliminate the turnover, they've shown ability to move the ball very well on Oscoda.
And they are setting to kick it off here after the first score of the night. Toby Shaw will kick it off from his 40-yard line as The Flying G's awaiting the kickoff. Standing back on the 15-yard line is Bruce Mann and Norman Myers. The kick is a short one. It goes to the short man at the 35-yard line up to the 40-yard line where he's brought down. A short kick was taken by Carl Meixner, the 6'4" senior. He was way up on the line. That kick didn't even make it past the second group of players for Gladwin. So the Flying G's have some good field position here to start out. First down on the 41-yard line, and we'll see if they can hold on to the ball this time. They had a good drive going to open up this third quarter of action, but a fumble by their tailback, Kurt Ainsley, coughed it up, and the Owls came back with it and finally scored the first touchdown of the ball game. From the I formation, it'll be Ainsley as penalty flags all over the place. Looks like another one of those mental mistakes, maybe some movement on the offense.
And it is being pointed to Gladwin. They are really killing themselves with penalties and turnovers.
I'd like to see the penalty yardage right now on these two teams. I'm sure it's getting up there where the coaches are not going to like to see it after the game. They'll just say, I don't want to see that score sheet and those penalty yardage.
Yeah, Carl Chiron has been the coach long enough to know that this kind of performance usually does not result in victories. You just keep fighting the opponent and yourselves all the way, and that's pretty tough to overcome.
And he probably is a very lucky coach right now after five turnovers to be only 6 points down at this point of the ball game.
Absolutely.
The penalty moves him back 5 yards, so it's back on the 35-yard line. First down and 15. I formation as he's up to pass. That quick pass is to his tight end, number 82, Greg Renas. And Arenas tried to turn and catch that, but it was incomplete. So Troy Gary tries that quick hitter again across to the tight end, but it just doesn't go again. This time Arenas had some problems trying to catch it.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened. They had two wide receivers out there that kind of bumped into each other and got bumped by an Oscoda defender. He just never got off the line of scrimmage in time to time the pass up properly.
Second down, 15. For Gladwin on their own 35. This time the draw play again, but Oscoda defenses in well for the first time tonight as Ainsley doesn't get anything this time on the draw play. Three times before they had run it in that first half, and Ainsley picked up good yardage. But this time I think they made the adjustment at halftime, and Ainsley doesn't pick anything up this time. Third down at 15 yards to go as the play was held for no gain. 6 minutes remaining here in the third period at Oscoda High School. Owls lead it 6-0 over Gladwin. Bruce Mann is a wide receiver left as quarterback is back to pass. It's complete to Kurt Ainsley, the tailback on the screen play. Ainsley trying to get outside. He's tripped up at about the 40-yard line back to the original line of scrimmage. So they pick up about 5 yards on the play, but it'll bring up a fourth down situation for Gladwin.
It was a good, seemingly good call. It was that middle screen that they attempted the first half where Ainsley slipped and fell before he could try to catch the football. This time it seemed to be working well, but the Oscoda kids reacted real well. Give those linebackers and deep backs a lot of credit. They jacked the pass first, and then they saw the screen. They came up very quickly and covered Ainsley.
Fourth down and 10 for Gladwin. And the kicking team comes in. This will be the first time they've had to punt tonight. They've had some fourth downs, but they went for them offensively three times, I believe, in that first half. So Holverson will be deep for Oscoda as the Gladwin team will line up in punt formation. Snap is a high one, but it's brought down. The kick is a short kick. This one will get nowhere near anyone as it bounces and takes an Oscoda bounce. Finally pounced upon at about midfield, so that kick will net about 10 yards. So really, that is not going to help Gladwood's plight at all.
No, but Oscoda now has an excellent field position. They only have 50 yards to go for the touchdown, and they are now leading in the ball game, 6 points. They should have everything going for them. Let's see if they've gained the confidence and the commitment and everything it takes now to maintain the football.
First down from midfield. They're going back to pass on first down. Harry back. He's got a man, Kahila, open. It's bobbled and missed. Just about picked off after it hit Kahila in the wrong place, right in the numbers.
It looked a little tough for me to see exactly. It looked like it might have hit his shoulder pad, but he was certainly open. The ball was there, and unfortunately, the young man did not catch the football. It would have been a big, big gainer, and they would have had just what they needed to continue their momentum here.
Second down, 10. Owls line it up, power eye formation. They give to Halverson, the tailback. Halverson's got some opening. He's at 35, 30. He might be gone. 25, he's going to go all the way. Touchdown. 50 yards for Rob Halverson on the good run as Halverson scores his second touchdown tonight for the Owls. Fantastic run from midfield for Rob Halverson.
He went off tackle. Got a couple of blocks right at the line of scrimmage and then just did a little move to the outside and just outraced two or three defenders. Great run, great 6 points for Oscoda. The Gladwin kids' turnovers and penalties may be starting to work against them emotionally and mentally here.
Earlier in the ball game, I thought that Gladwin had controlled this one all the way, but now Oscoda's come back and taken advantage. And they have just scored their second touchdown tonight. It is 12-0. They'll go for 2 points in this situation after missing the extra point kick there after their first touchdown. And one of the officials comes over now to talk to Judd Wainwright on the sideline, says some confusion out there now. They don't sending a couple of players back into the Oscoda lineup. But Rob Halverson and Kurt Ainsley putting on a show here for this crowd at Oscoda High School. Both tailbacks picking up over 100 yards tonight so far. We are still in the third quarter. So a big night for the tailbacks as the Oscoda Owls have a 12-0 lead over the Gladwin Flying G's. Still time out on the field for some reason or another.
Now, the official took time out to come to the bench and they were pointing to the clock. I see now the clock is being reset. When I first looked at it, it was 3 minutes and 50 some seconds, and now they've got 4 minutes on it. So there could have been some mistake for some reason here, and the official caught the official timer on the field was having it reset.
So the official's very alert out there as they catch the clock running a little bit too much out there.
Yes, it's now at 4 minutes and 25 seconds.
Okay, the Owls going for two from the I formation. David Harry, the quarterback, his pass is incomplete. Intended out there for Kevin Sharkey on the right side as the extra point attempt no good again. So the score remains Oscoda 12, Gladwin nothing. 4 minutes, 25 seconds remaining in the third period. We were scoreless at halftime, but the Owls have come back here with a couple of touchdown runs by Rob Halverson as they've taken a 12-0 lead here in this Northeast Michigan ball game. We have some more great football action coming your way in the coming weeks. Next Friday, we will be at Hale High School as the Hale Eagles and the Augray Wolverines will tangle. That should be a pretty good ball game between those North Star League foes. Augray taking on undefeated Atlanta tonight. The Huskies have been rated in the state all season long. Well, Hale went up to Atlanta last week and got beat pretty handily. So we'll have to see how Augray turns out against Atlanta. But I think that Hale-Augray game next week will be a dandy. And then we'll have Tawas and Standish. And then down the road a piece, a couple of weeks from tonight, it'll be Tawas and Oscoda. And, of course, that is a big game on these two teams' schedules, on Tawas and Oscoda's. Kickoff is a short one again, taken at the 25 to the 30, the 35-yard line by one of the short men for Gladwin.
Well, let's see if Gladwin can recover now after those two touchdowns, one due to a part and another one here now on certainly a breakdown in their defense, although Rod Halverson did get a make a couple of nifty moves and just outrace a couple of defenders. So this will be a very key feature tonight.
Ken Bittner brought the ball back to the 35-yard line. Pitches back to Ainsley on the short side of the field, the right side. He picks up some more good yardage before he's gang tackled out of bounds. So Kurt Ainsley continues to pile up the yardage, but the Flying G's really don't have anything to show for it as the Goose Eggs continue up on the board.
One other comment, Kurt. You know, that was the first time that Oscoda had stopped the Gladwin offense in just one series of downs. It was the first time, as you pointed out, that they punted. And the punting game was not very good.
Second down and 3 yards to go after Ainsley picked up 7 yards on that play. They line up in the eye. Gary gives to the fullback, first man through. That is Mark Sanders. Mark Sanders has first down yardage into Oscoda territory across the 45. Finally knocked out of bounds at the 40-yard line. So they go with the little-used Mark Sanders, and he picks up big yardage down in Dascota territory.
Early in the ball game, they were using Mark, and he was getting a decent yardage, and they got away from him as they moved the ball much more easily outside. It was a good call to come back to him, because the linebackers of Dascota were getting out of there very quickly on the first motion.
First and 10 from the 40-yard line of Dascota as Gladwin, trailing by 12 points, tries to get into here, into this scoring column.
Ainsley,
the tailback, straight up the middle as picks up about 5 yards on the play. It looked like he was stopped at the line, but he just carried some defenders with him and picks up some more good yardage. I don't think Ainsley has had any runs below 2 or 3 yards, only a couple. He was stopped for no gain one time, but every time that Kurt Ainsley... Second down and 4, they'll call it. Gain of 6 yards for Kurt Ainsley. 2 minutes, 24 seconds remaining. Third quarter action. Man is split to the right side. Give to Ainsley. This time he's tripped up at the line. He'll pick up a couple of yards on the play. That'll bring up third down and short yardage. Clock continues to run. 2 minutes, 9 seconds remaining.
Gladwin is trying to take advantage of the defense of Dascota, which has moved the linebackers off the ball for at least 4 yards to try to cover the outside stuff. Now they're trying to run inside to take advantage of it, and they had a little success.
Third down and 2. From the I formation, give to the fullback, Sanders. Sanders plowing his way, trying to fight for that first down marker. And he's going to be very close, but I think in Gladwin's situation right now, you're in four down territory anyway. And they do mark it short. It'll be fourth down and a yard to go. A minute and a half remaining, third quarter. So a fourth down situation coming up for Gladwin. They were successful 3 out of the 4 times in that first half that they had fourth down situations. I formation, big play for Gladwin. Fourth down and 1. And the ball is fumbled by the quarterback as they were trying to pitch it back to Ainsley. And he had to jump on it. And the ball will be turned over on downs as he lost 3 yards on the play. So another mistake, just about turned over as the ball turns over on downs.
Well, he was going for the pitch. He faked to the fullback who was covered. He was going to be forced to pitch. And before he could even make the pitch, he fumbled the football. So...
First down for Dascota as the Gladwin offense stalled again. The ball to 34. Give to Halverson. He breaks away again. He's to midfield. He might be going all the way to the 40. 35, 30. One man to beat. He's going to score. Touchdown to Halverson. A 60-yard, 65-yard make it. A run for Halverson, and he is piling up the yardage here in the second half.
I'll tell you.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, okay, the young man hit the hole. Had a defender right there who should have tackled him. He bounced off of him, continued to run. The Gladwin defense just stopped running. When they saw him get stopped, there was no pursuit. They just kind of froze. And then when he bounced off and got out to the outside, he only had one man to beat, and he outraced him. The other 10 people were just sitting back there 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. Great run.
65 yards, 49 seconds remaining as they'll go for 2 on this one again. Quarterback Harry tries to run it in. He's got it. 2-point conversion by the quarterback David Harry. And it'll be Dascota 20. The Flying G's nothing. So things have broke loose here at Dascota High School. The crowd, the Parents Night crowd, loves it as Rob Halverson has scored 3 times in this third quarter. And they lead 20-0 over Gladwin, breaking open a very, very tight ball game that was scoreless at the half.
2 plays, Halverson gained over 100 yards, I'm sure. And the Flying G's, I'm afraid, certainly defensively, seem like they have just decided to call it a night, because they just are not hitting and pursuing like they were earlier in the football game.
Dascota coach Judd Wainwright, I'm sure, isn't too upset with those Gladwin defensive people, because his team really needed a boost. They had been down after last week getting shellacked by Standish Sterling 35-0. They've come back and shut out this Gladwin team 20-0 so far here, 49 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Another short kick taken at the 35 by Bittner to the 40, up to the 45-yard line. He's still on his feet trying to work his way to midfield, but he's finally drugged down, and he is down at about the 43-yard line. So the kicking game really hasn't been impressive for Oscoda tonight, but all things considered, they still lead by 20 points.
Well, this half, they haven't had a go to it other than kicking off, and the Flying G's here just continue to hurt themselves. They were forced to punt, resulted in a touchdown on the part of Oscoda. This last time they fumbled.
So they have to get something going now. The time's running out in the third quarter as they try the reverse play after on a first down from the 42-yard line. And the ball carrier was Bruce Mann, who came from his slot, and he went into the reverse, but he really didn't pick up anything. He slid down very early.
Right. Unfortunately, he was coming back into the worst part of the field to carry the foot upfield. He looked like he had a lot of room to maneuver, except that the footing gave way under him. And
we'll end the third quarter, a big quarter for the Oscoda Owls. We'll send it back for a quick break. You're listening to High School Football 86 on WDBI.
Kathy's Hallmark in downtown Oscoda has more than the best selection of Hallmark greeting cards in the area. At Kathy's, they also have a perfect gift for every occasion, like a wide variety of stuffed animals, a beautiful collection of candles, photo albums and calendars, collectible knickknacks, picture frames in many sizes and styles, and of course, greeting cards for every occasion. So if you're looking for that perfect card or gift, look no further. Come to Kathy's Hallmark in downtown Oscoda.
Fourth quarter action here at Oscoda High School. Second down and 9 for Gladwood at their own 44-yard line. They'll go for the I formation. Fake the reverse this time. The quarterback goes back. A good pass is complete for about 5 or 6 yards. Pass goes to Greg Renas as he came out of his tight end spot. Picks up about 5 or 6 yards on the play. But there'll still be a third down and about 4 yards to go for Gladwood as they try to get something going. They trail 20-0. After a scoreless first half, the Owls came back with 3 touchdowns by Rob Halverson in the third quarter, and they've broken this one open, 20-0. Third down and 4 yards to go for Gladwin. Tailback is Kurt Ainsley. The quarterback passes intercepted. One of the linebackers was right there as Troy Gary tried middle, but it was right at one of the linebackers for Oscoda. Another turnover.
Well, Oscoda threatens to break this game even wider open right now. They're gaining possession at the about the 47-yard line of Gladwin. And the last 2 times they've had their hands on the ball, they've scored. So, in fact, the last 3 times they've gained possession of football, they've scored. So let's see if they continue that process.
They give the interception to Toby Shaw, number 30. So Toby Shaw comes up with the interception of a Troy Gary pass. Turnover number 6. 3 interceptions, 3 fumbles by Gladwin tonight. Oscoda has 2 turnovers also, so it has been a fumble-itis game as we have a player down on the field. One of the Oscoda players still out there. So we're going to take a quick break back to the studio as an injured player out on the field. You're listening to High School Football 86 on WDBI.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Pizza Championships. In this corner, Big Dave from Oscoda. And in this corner, Mr. Mike from Towers. Now at the bell, these two pizza giants will square off.
My pizza's the best! Mine is the best! Great pizza! Eat it, it's great!
Best free delivery, great sandwiches. But who has the best pizza? The world may never know. Big Dave's Pizza, US 23 Oscoda, Mr. Mike's Pizza, US 23 East Towers.
And we are back as Toby Shaw, the man that intercepted the pass, is coming off under his own power. That's pretty good. He's limping a little bit. Looks like maybe a left ankle or left knee, something on the left leg there as he limps off the field, but under his own power, which is good. First down and 10 for the Oscoda Owls as they are in Gladwin territory at the 47-yard line. Owls will go from the power eye formation with David Harry, Rob Halverson, Mark Edwards, and Ken Kahila in that backfield. The give is to Halverson. Halverson, who had just broken a 65-yard touchdown run the last time that he touched the ball, gets a modest 1 yard this time.
If that play was any indication of what's happened to the Gladwin defense, I think they may have gotten a good chewing out over there, and they sure showed an awful different approach to the game of football on that play.
11 minutes remain in this ball game. Second down and 9 for Oscoda. Halverson gets the call again. He gets some more good yardage as he gets down into Gladwin territory, down near the 40-yard line. So again, Halverson finding some good holes on that right side.
Yeah, well, he didn't have much of one, but once he hit there on his power, he got in a couple of extra yards on his own. He's a fine young back. There's no question about that.
Third down and 3 yards to go. The ball's on the 41-yard line of Gladwin. They'll give to Halverson again, right side. He finds the opening. First down, spins away from two men, jumps over another to the 30, the 25. And that's all. Rob Halverson effort right there. Second effort got him that yardage.
Right, but that time he did have a nice opening at the line of scrimmage, which got him into the secondary quickly. But then, just as you said, great second effort. Got him another 5, 6, 7 yards with turning and twisting and hard leg drive. Oh, he's putting on a show tonight.
He might be getting close to that 200-yard mark now as he continues to run all over out there. First down, 10 Oscoda from the 25-yard line. This time they give to the first man through. That is Mark Edwards, the fullback. And pulls his way forward down near the 21-yard line. So it'll be a second down play for Oscoda as they pick up 2 yards on the play. Second down and 8. So the Owls looking to post their first Northeastern Michigan Conference victory since they have come back into the conference this season. And right now it looks pretty good that they will as they lead Gladwin 20-0 with 9 minutes 54 seconds remaining in this ballgame. So the rebuilding year for Gladwin will continue as they have shown some promise. They've shown some flickers of greatness out there offensively.
Mostly because of that tailback Ainsley. Yeah, I'm not sure they would be as potent offensively as they have been tonight without him. He's a extra special back too.
And he is a senior, so he will not be back next year as this junior-laden team will try to get things turned around. Second down and 8. Quarterback David Harry on a keeper left side as he is buried down there by one of the linebackers who came across there. So David Harry picks up about a half a yard, maybe a full yard on the play. And there is a flag down at about the 20-yard line. So once again, penalties come into effect here. And we'll have to wait and see. They are talking to the Gladwin defensive captain. And the Oscoda offense is walking back. So I think they know that it's going to be walked off against them. So another penalty. Penalties and turnovers. And Rob Halverson, 3 stories of our game tonight. And they will mark off the penalty against the Owls. And they will mark the ball at the 31-yard line. So the penalty takes them all the way back. The holding penalty takes them to the 31-yard line. So it'll be second down and 18 yards to go. Mark Mears comes off the field as Judd Wainwright sends in a play. Second down and 18 yards to go for the Oscoda Owls. 9 minutes, 20 seconds remain in this ballgame. They give to Halverson after faking to the fullback. Halverson carries to the left side, but he only gets about a yard this time.
Misdirection play, counter play. They thought they might fool the Gladwin team, but earlier in the ballgame, they could have as they were pursuing well. Right now, they're just hitting and not moving very well at all. Moving across the line, but I see the coach, Sharon, has put in a couple of other younger kids, too.
Third down, 16. Harry rolling to his right. Throws downfield. He's got a man open. Complete to Kahila at the 20. Inside the 20 to the 18 where he's brought down very quickly. But a good pass. But once again, I see something yellow back about the area that holding is usually called. And it's a penalty flag, and it will bring that one back once again.
The official is talking to the Gladwin, and it is a holding penalty.
So 2 holding penalties on this drive, and that negates a pretty good catch and a pretty good throw right there. That would have gotten them down close to the first down marker, but instead they start walking the wrong way. They're walking back, and they are back on about the 44-yard line now. Third down, and as the PA announcer here in Oscoda says, a whole bunch. And that sums it up very well. I guess it's third down and 30 to go. I don't know if there are many plays in the playbook designed for third and 30. We'll see what it is. Straight back drop for Harry. Looking deep. It's a deep pass. He's got a couple of men open. Complete to number 81, Sharkey. Sharkey has close to the first down. Down near the 15. He is not down yet, but now he is.
Shit.
Gang tackled by five people as Sharkey comes down with the catch in traffic, and he's very close to the first down.
Well, this is certainly Oscoda's night. That time they had two receivers in the same area. Harry threw a ball up there like it was a wounded duck, but it landed in one of those two blue jerseys' hands, and now it's fourth down and about two or three. So you can't do things even when you don't try very well.
So Coach Wainwright did have a third and 30 play in the book. The pitch is back to Hoverson. Hoverson on fourth and two, fumbles, and it's recovered by his teammate, but I don't think that he got enough yardage for the first down. So the ball will go over to the Flying G's on possession. And fourth down play really didn't develop as they tried to pitch it back to Hoverson, but he didn't have anybody in front of him to help out that time. So a fourth down play does not work for Oscoda. After the big gainer on the pass play, they come up empty on fourth down. So it'll be first and 10 for Gladwin on the 16-yard line. But they are back deep in their own territory, and if that pass completion hadn't been made, they would have come out of it with some pretty good field position.
Absolutely, and now they do have Gladwin back at their deep. 85, 6 yards to go.
And one important play is the clock. 7 minutes, 28 seconds remaining. Ainsley gets the pitch, and he's buried. He doesn't pick up much yardage at all as the offensive line really didn't get out in front of that time to help Ainsley out.
The Oscoda defense got penetration, and even the best backs can't do much when they're in their own backfield with the opponents all around them, and that was the case here. They just didn't have anybody knocked down.
And they do not give him any gain on that play. The ball is right back at the line of scrimmage. Second down, 10, 6 minutes, 54 seconds, and the clock is running. Remaining in this ball game, Oscoda 20, Gladwin nothing. Pass is just about picked off as Troy Gary tried to find Greg Arenas. But Hoverson, who is doing it all, comes across defensively from his safety position and knocks that one down.
It was a play-action pass, and the quarterback had his back to the receivers as he was running doing his faking. And he just turned around and just wheeled and threw it. I know darn well he could not have seen where the defenders were, and was lucky he wasn't picked up.
Third down and 10, the clock is stopped after the incompletion. Draw play to Ainsley. Ainsley to the 20, to the 25, fumbles, but it comes right back up into his midsection. And he picks up the first down up near the 30-yard line. But once again, Ainsley came down and the ball was fumbled. He was lucky it came right back up to him. First and 10, Gladwin from their own 30-yard line. As the clock continues to run, it works against Gladwin. They have to do some scoring and have to do it quick against this Oscoda team. Troy Gary back to pass, looking on the sidelines. He's got a man open down near the 45-yard line. That is a completion to Steve Paul. Steve Paul picks off that completion. First down after a gain of 15 yards. So Gladwin quickly moving the ball, and that's what they have to do in this situation.
That was a well-executed two plays. They ran the draw, then they faked the draw on this one and held the linebackers in there, and he was able to throw the completed pass.
Greg Arenas, wide receiver right. Bruce Mann to the left side of the slot. Screen pass to Ainsley. Ainsley up to midfield to the 45. He does have room to the 40, the 35. He has two men to beat. He's knocked out of bounds down near the 30-yard line. So the screen pass works, and Gladwin starting to get some offense going again late in the ball game.
Yeah, they can. Now they're back on track with their offense. Early this half, they got stopped by the Oscoda Owls, and Oscoda was able to score. Now Gladwin is moving the ball again.
The ball's at the 26-yard line. Clock is stopped at 6:06 remaining in this one. First down and 10 from the 26 for the Gladwin Flying G's. Troy Gary on the draw play to Ainsley. Ainsley has a lot of room as he spins away down to the 20, inside the 20 near the 15-yard line, as the Gladwin team hurries back into a huddle as they have to hurry up against this clock. 5 minutes, 45 seconds remaining. Gain of 8 yards on the play, second down and two. As Oscoda defensively a little mixed up, three men hurry off the field just before Gladwin snaps the ball. Once again, a pass, this time out to Ainsley, and he'll lose a yard on that one. It really wasn't a very good pass at all. Not very good setup, anyways.
No, just before this play, they were doing an excellent job of play calling, I thought. Oscoda knowing that if they're going to get back in the ball game, they've got to pass the ball or move the ball quickly. And so they are thinking pass first, and Gladwin's taking advantage of it. Draws, fake draw, pass.
Loss of 2 yards on that play. Third down, 4 from the 20-yard line. Givens to the second man through. He's going to be close to the first down. That's a fullback, Mark Sanders. Sanders will be very close to the down marker. They give him the first down, so Gladwin continues on their merry way down the field. The clock is at 5:25, and it will start as soon as the sticks are put down. And there we go, 5 minutes, 25 seconds, and counting. First down and 10 for the Flying G's from the 15-yard line. Screen pass again. This one is out to the right side, and tripped up by his own man is Greg Arenas. As Greg Arenas gets about 5 or 6 yards on the play, but he ran over his own man and fell down.
Yes, you know, that's something that Coach Sharon mentioned in a pregame interview you had, that they hadn't scored a point in the last 10 quarters. It's now 13 quarters they haven't scored, and I can see why.
Ball is on the 10-yard line. Second down, the give is to Sanders. Sanders works his way down near the 5-yard line on a good gainer on that second down play. And it'll be a first down. First down and goal for Gladwin as they are threatening to break that scoreless streak.
They do a lot of things well offensively, except they also make a lot of mistakes with the penalties and the fumbles.
First down and goal from the 5-yard line. On the option play, the pitch is back to Ainsley. Just about fumbles it. Touchdown for Gladwin.
Well, they finally broke the string. They've scored it now in the 14th quarter. So the string of 13 unscored quarters has been broken, and now they're back into the ball game to the tune of 6 points. Let's see, probably will go for the two. Let's see what they do here.
So 5-yard run by Ainsley as he finally finds pay dirt after a lot of yardage up and down the middle of the field, and he'll score from 5 yards out. That makes it 20-6 with 4.5 minutes remaining. They'll go for two. On the option again, the pitch is to Ainsley. He's got some room on the right side, spins and makes it. 2-point conversion is good by Ainsley, 20-8, as they move ever so close with 4.5 minutes left. Now you've got to think about possibly, what do you do in this situation? Onside kick, or do you try to get the ball and hope your defense can hold Oscoda?
Well, they haven't shown the ability to kick the ball very deep. If they had that as a weapon, I'm sure that would be something to consider at this point. But on the other hand, when your defense hasn't been playing any better than they have this second half, I wouldn't even make that an option. So I would guess that the onside kick might be a very good possibility.
And we'll see if they can do that, or if they will do that. Scott Morgan will be the kicker for Gladwin. Kevin Sharkey is deep for Oscoda to receive it. He stands at his 10-yard line, but they have 5 men up at the front line. The Oscoda Owls do at the midfield mark. And we'll see what they come up with as Morgan, the kicker, just about set to go as the Flying G's have scored their first points. And it is an onside kick. It's high in the air, and it's brought down by one of the Oscoda men. Number 65 for Oscoda, Mike Martin, comes down with it. He was on that front line, went over and made a pretty good catch and just fell down on the ball. That's what you've got to do in that situation.
It's interesting the way different coaches coach that onside kick. Some was a deliberate attempt to nub the ball and get it to bounce awkwardly by kicking it from the top side of the ball. Other coaches will slice it over to the one sideline or the other. It's a play we always worked on.
First down and 10 from the 42-yard line. They give it to Halverson. Halverson across midfield as he picks up good yardage on first down. And he'll be near that first down marker again. So, as you said, defensively, Gladwin cannot stop Halverson here in the second half as he continues to run wild out there.
A big hole and a nifty move once he got through the line of scrimmage. He's down on the field right now. It might be a cramp, but another comment, yeah, it looks like he definitely has a cramp. He is coming off on his own power, but Coach Wainwright's observations at the pregame interview with you about the good feel was very, very important. This team needs a good feel to make anything happen.
Second down and 1 yard to go from the 47-yard line of Gladwin. The new tailback in the ballgame gets the call, and he'll make it up close to the first down marker. That is number 22, Kent Kahila, who lined up in the tailback spot that time. He had been in the power I formation, lined up in the I. This time he lines up in the tailback slot, and he gets close to the first down. I'm not sure they have not showed us that he has gotten it. It looks like they're going to bring the chains on. It's very close, and they will. They'll bring the chain gang out to measure. This is the first down as Kahila got it a couple of yards up near the sticks. But Rob Holverson does look like a man possessed, especially after last week when Standish held him pretty much in check.
Yes. And of course, he wasn't getting the blocking the kids have given him tonight. And, of course, they're now also facing the defense that the Standish Sterling kids threw up against them. But the night was nasty, and he didn't have very good footing, and they didn't have the ball very much.
And you really can't tell about scores of teams they played, though, because Standish only beat Gladwin 10-0, while Standish beat Oscoda 35-0. Quarterback keeper as David Harry, right forward on a first down play. He made the first down by a couple of inches, and on a first down keeper, David Harry gets it up close to another first down as he picks up 9 yards on the play. Second down and 1 yard to go as the ball rests on the 38. 38-